I'd like to welcome you to the second and, I believe, final Chazara Shiur for this semester. This is the fall 2010 semester of the Aaron, Martha, Isidore N., and Blanche Rozanski Contemporary Halacha Program. And, of course, we want to thank Aaron, Martha, Isidore N., and Blanche Rozanski for sponsoring today's Shiur. Today we're going to focus primarily on the second section on the syllabus, which is the section that deals with Hilchos Shabbos, which really occupied the bulk of the semester. Last time we already chazered Rabbi Savalovsky's shiur about caring for children on Shabbos. I'd like to first chazer today, we'll go a bit out of order, we'll begin with Rabbi Willig's shiur Zmanei Hayom, and then we'll talk about the international dateline shiur of Rabbi Horowitz. The other three shiurim in this section, the shiurim about electricity, about principles of malacha, and about Borer, actually are shiurim that share a lot of common ground, and I think it would be kedai to kind of try to bunch them together and discuss them all around the same time. When it comes to the Zmanei Hayom shiur that Rabbi Willig gives, and in fact this is a shiur that we give every year, in contemporary halacha, it's a very important topic of Zmanei Hayom. Lamaisa, every Rav has to know about how to organize a calendar, and every Ben Torah has to know about like how we organize the halachic day. The best way to review Rabbi Willig's shiur is by reading the Sefer Am Mordechai on Brachos Simen Beis. Rabbi Willig over there, really 96 or 97% of what he said in the shiur is found in those few pages. He could do a lot better summarizing his own positions in that short Shtickle Torah than I can over here, but we'll do the best we can. Tosis in Shabbos asks a stira in Gemara's. The Gemara in Shabbos basically tells us that Bein Hashmashos is a time that lasts 3/4 mil. And the Gemara in Pesachim says that Bein Hashmashos is a time that lasts 4 mil. That is the stira in sugyas. So Rabbeinu Tam answers this stira in sugyas by saying that really there are two different shkiyas that we're dealing with. Now, we're assuming, by the way, that Bein Hashmashos is the time between shkiyah and Seis HaKochavim. Lav Davka, is that true? Because Rabbi Willig noted, just as a parenthetical point, the Gemara here in Shabbos doesn't mention the word Seis HaKochavim at all. The Gemara in Shabbos mentions the word Laila, that Bein Hashmashos is the time between Shkiyah and Laila. But assuming that Laila equals Seis HaKochavim, which is a statement the Gemara makes at the beginning of Brachos, at the beginning of Pesachim, so if that's the case, we have a steer in Gemara, is how long is Bein Hashmashos? Zakta Bein Tam, that really there are two different times that's called Shkiyah. There's Shkiyah Rishona, which we will assume is the equivalent of the sun dropping beneath the horizon, what the New York Times calls Shkiyah. And after Shkiyah Rishona, so basically what we are going to have is a time of 3.25 mil when it still is Vadayom. For Rabbeinu Tam, Shkiyah Rishona is insignificant. Now, it's not completely insignificant halachically. Shulchan Aruch, which Paskins like Rabbeinu Tam, says that Shkiyah Rishona is Nogei Alamaisa in terms of that's the earliest time of Tosefes Shabbos. So it is Nogei Alamaisa, that New York Times sunset, but it's not by any stretch, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the end of the halachic day. The end of the halachic day will certainly be 4 mil after that Shkiyah Rishona, and the Bein Hashmashos is going to be 3/4 mil before that, which equals 3.25 mil after Shkiyah Rishona. That is the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam's Shita was accepted by the major Rishonim and by Shulchan Aruch. The Ramban assumes that way, the Rashba assumes that way, the Ritva assumes that way. The major Rishonim all follow the Rabbeinu Tam. Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rabbeinu Tam. This seemed to be mainstream Judaism, but we don't do that, no? Our practice is not like the Rabbeinu Tam, our practice is like the Gra. According to the Gra, the Shkiyah Rishona is halachically significant in that Bein Hashmashos begins, right after Shkir Rishona, 3/4 of a mil after Bein Hashmashos is going to be Tseis HaKochavim, according to the Gra. That means if a mil, let's say, for argument's sake, is 18 minutes, so at 13 and a half minutes after sunset, so that is nighttime, according to the Gra. The second Shkia, according to the Gra, that Shkia Shniya, everyone has the same teretz, that there's Shkia Rishon and Shkia Shniya. Everyone has the same teretz. The Shaila just is, which Shkia is halachically significant? For the Rabbeinu Tam, Shkia Shniya is significant. For the Gra, Shkia Rishon is significant. For the Gra, Shkia Shniya, what does it do? No halachic significance whatsoever. It's a Gemara in Pesachim that deals somehow with astronomy. No? Stars, a chvesnisht. That's the story of the Shkia Shniya according to the Gra. Fine. Rabbi Willig points out that this machlokes between the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam should be nogea for two other important issues. One is, how do I calculate the day? You see, according to the Gra, the halachically significant Zman is the first Shkia. That means that the Pashtus, we're assuming that everything is symmetrical, right? So at the end of the day, Shkia, right, exists, and that's halachically significant for the Gra, and Seis HaKochavim exists later on. At the beginning of the day, the symmetry would be Alos HaShachar, which is the equivalent of Shkia Shniya, and Netachama, which is the equivalent of Shkia Rishona. So, assuming the day should be symmetrical, which, by the way, is an assumption, right? I think in Ner Yisrael, any of you ever went to Ner Yisrael besides me? Okay? So, in Ner Yisrael, they have a different Zman of Plag HaMincha than the rest of the world. You ever noticed? Right, so this is because Reb Sheftel Neuberger once tried to explain this to me. Reb David Krunglass, who was the Mashgiach in Yeshiva in Ner Yisrael years ago, so Reb David felt that the day is not symmetrical. That was his cheshbon. In other words, he assumed that between Alos HaShachar and HaNetzacham is going to be 72 minutes, but between Shki and Seis HaKochavim is going to be around 30 minutes. And consequently, you divide the day up that way, and you end up with a different zman for Plag HaMincha. Rabbi Willig's taina on this shita is that the Gemara in Pesachim writes clearly that Chatzos has to be the point of day that the sun is directly above head, has to be exactly the midpoint of the day. Right? If the day is not symmetrical, Chatzos isn't the midpoint of the day. Remember one time, after I was already in YU, before there was Yeshiva Spena Semesterim, we used to go to Ner Yisrael during intercession. So one time I drove down with Rafal Willig to Ner Yisrael for intercession. And we showed up a little bit late on the Friday afternoon, and the shaila was what we should do about davening mincha. So I think Rafal called his father, and he asked about like davening mincha with the yeshiva later in the day. Because yeshiva had an early mincha on Friday, and the guys would go and play ball. Like, that's the minig of bachur ball. Right? And then there would be the second mincha right before Kabbalah Shabbos. So Rabbi Willig said, no, chas v'shalom, to daven late mincha in Ner Yisrael, and you can't do that. So I just felt really bad because I'd been in Ner Yisrael the year before. I recently had come to YU, and I always daven the late mincha on Fridays. But what can you do? So the point is that if the assumption is that the day is symmetrical, so it goes from Hanetz HaChama, right, according to the Gros, the halachic beginning of the day, and the halachic end of the day is Shkia, right? That's true for the Gra, but for Rabbeinu Tam, the day also is symmetrical, but the day really goes from Alos HaShachar until Tseis HaKochavim. And the Nafgamina would be for Zman Kriyashma, no? Zman Kriyashma, which is 3 hours of the day, so the two Zmanim that are written on the charts always, the Mogen Avram Zman seems to follow the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, because that's calculating the 3 hours of the day beginning from Alos HaShachar. The Gra Zman is following the Gra, right? Lashitaso, same person, good. Right? So the Grazman's following the Gra, so it goes from Hanetzachama, and then you calculate 3 hours that way. What's interesting is that the Alter Rebbe of Chabad, who always paskins like the Magen Avram, he also paskins like the Grazman, no? In the Siddur. He paskins like the Gra, he changed his mind between the Shulchan Aruch and the Siddur. So that's why most of the world, the Hasidim, based on the Alter Rebbe, and the Litvaks, based on the Gra, they assume that Zman Kriyishma is the Gra Zman. The other issue that should be totally in this, Rabbi Willig pointed out, and this requires a little bit of arithmetic, is how long is a mil? No? Let's make the cheshbon. You see, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, According to Rabbi Tam, when we speak about the day, we're really speaking about Alos HaShachar until Tzeis HaKlichovim. But when I divide up the Sho'os Manios, everybody holds a Sho'os Manios, this is again, there's an assumption that Rabbi Willig makes in this Shtickle Taira, which I think might be debatable, but everyone assumes that when I divide Sho'os Manios, I divide it between Hanetzach Chama and Shkia. Right, so that would be 12 hours. If there's 60 minutes in an hour, so that would be 720 minutes, right? 720 halachic minutes between Hanetz HaChama and between Hanetz and Shkiyas HaChama. Now, how many mil are there in that amount of time? For the Gra, that would be the 40 mil that the Gemara mentions. Because the entire thing that I'm ever concerned with is Hanetz and Toshkia. When the Gemara says that the day is 40 mil, that means between Hanetz and Shkiyas is 40 mil. So if I divide 40 into 720, what do I get? I get 18, no? So according to the Gra, I get the 18-minute mil based on that cheshbon. But Rabbeinu Tam would say that no. Rabbeinu Tam would say that really the day begins at Alois HaShachar and it goes until Tzeis HaKochavim. When we say there are 40 mil in the day, that means 40 mil between Alois and Tzeis. But there are 4 mil between Alos and Nates, and 4 mil between Shkia and Seis. So I'm taking 8 mil off of my 40. That means I'm really dividing 32 into my 720 minutes, which would give me a mil that equals 22 and a half minutes. So Rabbi Willig's Cheshbin... Yeah?
Can you just repeat that last
Cheshbin for the Rabbeinu Tam? Okay, so according to Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbi Willig is making an assumption that even according to Rabbeinu Tam, when I calculate Sho'os Zmanios, so I'm going to cheshbin out hours between Hanetz HaChama and Shkiyas HaChama. That's the assumption. Now, how many mil is in that amount of time? That amount of time that we will say equals 720 minutes. For Rabbeinu Tam, I only have 32 mil in that time. Because I have 4 mil from the beginning of the day, read from Alos HaShachar until Hanetz, and another 4 mil from Shkia until Tzeis. So I take off 8 mil from the 40. The Gemara says that there are 40 mil in a day. But for Rabbeinu Tam, that means 40 mil in an entire day. But there's only 32 mil in the usable part of the day, in the part from Hanetz until Shkia. And that gives me 32 mil in the 720 minutes, which gives me a 22 and a half minute mil. Is that okay? So this is Rabbi Willig's assumption. Now, im kenim hadavarim, that according to Rabbeinu Tam, a mil is really 22 and a half minutes, so then all the classical cheshbonos for Rabbeinu Tam of 72 minutes, right, fall away. Because really, Moshe Shabbos would have to be 90 minutes, because right, for Rabbeinu Tam, if you want to wait Rabbeinu Tam's mind, you're really waiting 4 mil, right? That's what we explained earlier. Well, how big is a mil? So we were assuming 18 minutes, right? That would give me 72, because 4 times, right? I went to Yeshiva Farakwe, so I know how to do this type of math. 4 times 18 equals 72, but 4 times 22 and a half equals 90, right? So then I should really have to wait 90 minutes for Motzei Shabbos. So Rabbi Willig, interestingly, right, so the way he used to say in contemporary halachas is that no one in the world, even the Hasidish communities, they don't etzem hold like Rabbeinu Tam. Because if you really hold like Rabbeinu Tam, you have to hold Motzei Shabbos as at least 90 minutes. No? So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. Aye, how come they hold 72 minutes? Stam is like Tosefes Shabbos. The same reason why in America, the practice is that we finish Shabbos an hour after Lech Benjen, which is 42 minutes after Shkia. Right? Why is that? Really, Shabbos should end beforehand. Right? How much beforehand, we'll talk about it. But we wait a little bit extra out to Tosefes Shabbos. That's Rabbi Willig's cheshbon. Okay? Good. So we have Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the Gra, the two issues that are totally zebezeh in terms of Zman Kriya Shma, in terms of how long the mill is, and consequently, the first taina on the... If this is correct, so we have the first taina on the Rabbeinu Tam. Now, the Gra famously had a taina on Rabbeinu Tam, which is called Hachush Machesh, no? Now, the conventional understanding of Hachush Machesh is that you look outside and it's dark way before 72 minutes, no? That's the conventional understanding. Lemaisa, if you read the Gra inside, the Gra's Hachush Machish is much more nuanced, no? The Gra's Hachush Machish is basically that if you go further north, so you're going to reach places that during the summer months do not have any Tseis HaKlei Chavim, according to Rabbi Nutam. Because the Cheshbon is that as I go further north, right, so if I hold that Tseis HaKlei Chavim is going to have to be a fixed amount of time of 4 mil after Shkia Rishona. I know when Shkia Rishona is. I look outside, I see it. But in certain places, by the time you get to 4 mil after that, so it's already going to be the next morning. That's Be'etzem, the Chush Machish of the Gra. Conventionally, it's said that Chush Machish of the Gra is just that we see it gets dark earlier. But Lemaisa, if you read inside, it's a lot, there's a lot more to it. I think this is on page 8 of the packet. If you look inside in the Gra, on page 8, right, the way he says it is, Medinos hanotim letzafon, that amur hashachar masko b'kayitz, b'chetzi halayla, imkein ein seis hakoi chavim b'chlau b'kayitz. Right, yeah, it is. If you read what he says,
The second point is not the chush machish.
Right. The first point, the chush machish of the Gra. Thank you. Right. The chush machish of the Gra is that the day should be symmetrical, and lemaisa we see that between amud hashachar and hanetzachama there's more time than there is between shkia and seis. Right. It's not exactly the way people say it that we see it gets dark earlier. And then the second point is that as you go further north, you lose it. Now, the problem if you go further north, you lose it, exists according to everybody, no? That's a problem of keeping Shabbos in polar or in polar areas and in orbit. Okay, so that second time of the Gon is really a very difficult time, no?
I think it means that you can't have a Shkia Sacham. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you end up with a Shkia Sacham with Tavit Seis, but that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and
the night later.
Right. If you assume that there's a fixed amount of time between Shkia and Seis, then you could have a Shkia without a Seis.
That's the point.
Right. But if
no,
right.
The point is that you never saw anyone who didn't make Havdol in the summer. Not the point. The point is not that's not astronomical point. The point is that in Vilna, for Dori Doris, everybody made Havdol during this. Everybody made Havdol during the summer.
He doesn't say in Vilna. He says places further north than Vilna.
Any place where there's a Jewish community, we never saw anyone who didn't make Havdol in the summer. It's nothing to do. That's not halachic time. It's just like even according to all these people who are knowing supposedly according to Rabbeinu Tam, they always
okay.
Made Havdol.
Okay, stay there. Now, the point is, how can we possibly be miyashiv the Rabbeinu Tam from these kashas? And we'll just say how we miyashiv the Rabbeinu Tam from the more simple kasha of, we see it gets dark earlier. Right? So there are two ways that Rabbi Willig brought down to be miyashiv. One is the Minchas Kohen's Yishuv. The Minchas Kohen basically says that, you know what? In Amsterdam, Taka, it doesn't work out. But if you go to Eretz Yisrael, so the Rabbeinu Tam Shita would work out. So the way Rabbi Willig says is that Hachush Machish, the Minchas Kohen, right, is it just fine. The other way to be Miyashiv, the Rabbeinu Tam, is that you have to know where to look. Are you looking to the east or are you looking to the west? If you look to the far west, and that's when you assume that you need the sun, that you need the three stars to come out to indicate that's Matzei Shabbos, so that's what the Ravya says. In that situation, so then Enochanami, it really could be that you're not going to have Yitzias Seis HaKlei Chavim until 72 minutes after. Okay, whatever it is.
It still happens before 90.
It still happens before 90. Enochanami, right. So there is a strong if this 22 and a half minute mil is correct, so you still have it, the Kasha. Enochanami. Now, according to the Gra, we end up in trouble also, no? Because the Chora, for the Gra, the Pashtus is that 3/4 of a mil after Shkia Sachama is nighttime, but there's no Tseis HaKlei Chavim then. Right? It's still light. So there are different ways to be Miyash of this. Rabbi Chiel Michal Tukuchinsky assumes that really really, Seis HaKochavim is when you see stars. So when do you see stars? You see stars of face 22 minutes in Yerushalayim in the winter, and in New York would be the equivalent of 26 minutes. That's when you see stars. Seis HaKochavim should be 13 minutes and change after Shkia, and we're saying it's 22 minutes. That's a while off. So you have to say, and Rabbi Wallach points out that this is really 2 days in Tosfos and Shabbos, that maybe this is totally the Machlokas HaTanoim there in Shabbos in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, and maybe that Seis HaKochavim, since we try to be Machmer both according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, so that Seis HaKochavim is going to be really a few minutes delayed after. Meaning to say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, 13 minutes and change after Shkia is Laila. But Seis HaKochavim is going to be 22 minutes after. And we're machmir that we wait for Seis HaKochavim, not for Laila, according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky's cheshbin. That cheshbin leads to calculations based on degrees of darkness, how far is the sun beneath the horizon, until, and that's what standard calendars assume. Dr. Leo Levy, I think he used to live here in the neighborhood, so Dr. Leo Levy, in his Sefer and Zmanim, he basically has a different yeshiva for the Gra. His yeshiva for the Gra is based on experts. People who really know how to look for stars are going to find stars at 14 minutes after Shkia, and you can send people out. Soldiers looked and they actually saw it. So that is another mahalach. Now, obviously, there's a lot more to be said about this, because here in Yeshiva, we don't assume like either the Yeshiva, no? We don't assume that Seis HaKochavim is like 26 minutes. We have a slightly different shiur, the shiur of the Baal HaTanya, that Rabbi Schechter uses. Rabbi Willig didn't go into it. What it is, it's an application of the Shita of the Gra, not exactly the same. We add a few minutes on. There's also another issue in terms of what time is Shkia. Shkia is when the sun goes beneath the horizon. Okay, but is that only based on when I'm at sea level, or is Shkia based on where I am? If I'm in the mountain, it's at a slightly different time. It could be 2 or 3 minutes earlier. So these issues are also, they also get involved in terms of calculating the Zmanei Hayom. Rabbi Wallach just finished off the shiur by going through the other Zmanim in terms of when Zman Kriyishma is and when fasts begin, etc. Rabbi Wallach is a fan of having the beginning of a fast be at a very early Zman of Alos HaShachar. It's going to be an Alos HaShachar based on the cheshbin of the 90 minutes, no? So, okay, whatever it is, that's not what most people have in the calendars. The end of Rabbi Wallach here went through all of these details. Rabbi Wallach then spoke very quickly about the Tarti de Sasri and how you shouldn't try to daven mincha. You shouldn't daven mincha after Plag HaMincha and Ma'ariv before Shkia, because that would end up being a Tarti de Sasri. Okay, these are some of the other issues. What did I miss in this year? Don't know. Okay, this is, I think, the basics. The basics of Zmanei Hayom. Obviously, there's a lot more to discuss. So let's move on just very quickly to Rabbi Horowitz's shiur about international dateline. Again, these are topics I have to admit, I do not understand math at all. I don't understand how things work in this sort of way, but we'll do the best we can. Rabbi Horowitz began by pointing out that Tosfos in Avodah Zarah says that the earth is round. Every intelligent person always understood that the earth was round, not the earth was flat. What they taught you in second grade about Columbus proving that the earth is round is absolutely wrong. It's not, right? Lemaisa, Greeks knew the earth was round. Intelligent people always knew this. Not much of a kasha. Now, once we know that the earth is round, so Mamela, we have a problem of time. Because if I am where I am and I keep on moving west, let's say, so when I go west, it ends up getting an hour earlier each time, right? Get an hour earlier. Then I'll go all the way around the globe. So I ended up getting 24 hours earlier. But it's going to be, right? I'm going to be in the same place where I started from, no? So that can't be. That's inconceivable. Can't be that I start on point one, I keep on moving west, and I get an hour earlier, come back around, right? And then it's the same, right? It's going to be the same time, but 24 hours earlier. And if it takes me 24 hours to make that whole trip, so it's going to be the same time, right? Same time and the same day. I didn't move at all. I just spent the day traveling, but I ended up, right, at the same time I left. That's inconceivable. Hence, there's a need for an international dateline. There are basically, what Rabbi Horowitz pointed out in the shiur, is that there are four different ways to draw an international dateline in halacha. Rav Mendel Kasher and the Radvaz basically assume that the international dateline is just a convention. And whenever people assume it's Shabbos, it's Shabbos. Whatever people in the world call Saturday is Saturday, so we could follow the standard international dateline. Even though the standard international dateline is based on going 180 degrees from Greenwich, England, which is absolutely, there's no halachic significance to Greenwich, England, but the halacha would say that Shabbos is determined based on when people call it Saturday. Memela, that solves all the problems. It's an interesting shita, not at all accepted. The shitos that are more accepted is the Kuzari and the Bahamor. The Kuzari and the Bahamor, based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, assume that Yerushalayim has to be the center of the earth. So far, so good. Now, the center of the earth, and therefore what? So, if there are 24 hours in a day, that's the given. So, there are two ways of saying if Yerushalayim is the center of the earth, so therefore we draw a dateline somewhere based on Yerushalayim. The pashtus would be that we go 12 hours away from Yerushalayim, no? That would be 12 hours equals 180 degrees, because a sphere is 360 degrees. The other way that we could say it is that Yerushalayim is the center of the earth, but like the Ibn Ezra and the Radak point out, they didn't know the Western Hemisphere. So it's the center of the earth, Dahainu, the center of their 180 degrees that were inhabited. And the dateline is going to be 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. Right? That's the other mahalach that we could take in terms of drawing an international dateline, both based on Yerushalayim being the center of the earth. Now, the Chazon Ish was a huge champion. He wrote what's called the Kuntres Yudches Shaos. Right? 18 hours means that there are 6 hours to the east, 6 hours and 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim is going to be the international dateline. That's the Chazon Ish Shita, and it's based on the fact that all the Rishonim who speak about the topic, the Bahamar, excuse me, and the Kuzari, they both say that should be the dateline. The problem is that there was one Rishon. Now, he's not a common Rishon. His name is Reb Yitzchak Yisrael. He wrote a sefer called the Yesod Olam. He's a Talmud of the Rosh. And he presents the problem that if you're going to have a dateline, so then you could conceivably have one person standing on one side of the line, another person standing on the other side of the line. For one guy it's Shabbos, next guy it's Sunday. And conceivably, that should present problems. It shouldn't work like that. So therefore, he argues that al karchacha, the dateline has to be in middle of the water, in a place that people don't live. And his lashon, like Rabbi Horowitz is a big fan of this lashon, is ma ichpat luhu l'degei hayam. What do the fish care what day it is? No, to the best of my knowledge, fish don't keep Shabbos, so it doesn't matter. So that's the basic cheshbin of the Yesod Olam. Now, how we answer this kasha could be in two ways. The Yesod Olam himself might be asking this kasha and giving an answer that basically says, you know what, maybe he's rejecting the Kuzari entirely. This is what Rabbi Horowitz was inclined to, that the entire Chazon Ish is based on the premise that there are no Rishonim who argue in the Kuzari, right? And the Chazon Ish quotes this Yesod Olam, but maybe if you read the Yesod Olam, maybe the Yesod Olam Gufa is saying, and therefore I reject the Kuzari. No? He's rejecting the Kuzari because L'maisa, you have to draw the line 12 hours east of Yerushalayim, and if you draw the line 12 hours east of Yerushalayim, you end up, Yerushalayim is 35 degrees east, no? So 12 hours east of that would be, I don't remember exactly. The line ends up bisecting Alaska. It ends up being 155 west, no? Which ends up bisecting Alaska. That's not such a problem because people didn't really live in those areas where the line would bisect, and the Yesod Olam's Kasha is answered. The Chazon Ish himself wanted to answer the Kasha of the Yesod Olam based on the principle that he invented called Greira. Greira means that if I have a landmass, and part of that landmass is east of the international dateline, the entire landmass is going to be nigra after the chilak that's on the east, and mimela, I don't have a problem of having one person being on one side of the line, another person being on the other side of the line. Now, Rabbi Horowitz pointed out, this idea of Greira, first of all, isn't found anywhere, even though Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes that it's a Svara Pshuta, but one person's Svara Pshuta is someone else's Boich Svara. Like, it doesn't really, maybe you take it, maybe you don't take it. Moreover, it does create certain problems, because if I assume that the land mass is all Nigra after where it begins, so that means the second I leave land, if I dive into the water on Shabbos, if I dive into the water on Sunday, it becomes Shabbos, no? That, like, would create another problem. So it's not a Pashat Svara at all. There's another discussion that comes up in terms of maybe our original Svara, that when we say Yerushalayim is to the Yerushalayim is the center of the world, but I'll draw a line 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, 6 hours, 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. That's because that was the only part of the world that was inhabited, that they knew of. This is also not Pashut. There's a Zohar that might indicate that they knew that there were people who lived in the Western Hemisphere. Rabbi Horowitz didn't go into this, but he just like mentioned matter-of-factly that maybe there are different versions of how you understand the Zohar. It's really not Pashut. Lamaisa, this issue came up when the Mir Yeshiva was in Kobe, Japan, and what would they do in terms of keeping Shabbos, in terms of keeping Yom Kippur. Many Talmidim kept 2 days. It's really not Pashut at all what you should do in the international dateline. I try to kind of pass these shalas off on other people when they get them. For some reason, lots of people like to go traveling to Hawaii. It's like a big vacation spot now. So Hawaii ends up, if you use the dateline of the Chazon Ish, so Hawaii would be east of the dateline. If I use the dateline of the Yesod Olam, that we'll call it, the dateline which ends up being Rabbi Chaim Michal Tukachinsky's dateline, that's going to be 12 hours east of Yerushalayim. So I end up with Hawaii being west of the dateline. These questions are really not so pashut. It requires a mora hora'a. Rav Shechter passing straight like the Chazon Ish. When you ask Rav Shechter Shaz about the dateline, he'll just pass in straight up the Chazon Ish, no questions asked. Rabbi Horowitz is really not inclined to pass in like the Chazon Ish. I should say it like this. Rav Shechter passes like the Chazon Ish, but he doesn't pass like the Chazon Ish's Greira elements, no? Because Rav Shechter would hold that even if you hold Greira, but you can't take off on Sunday, he's not convinced of the Greira element within the Chazon Ish. Apparently, Reb Moshe also held to the Chazon Ish, but not of the Greira aspect of the Chazon Ish. That would mean that you do have a line that will separate between two people. One guy's on the east, one guy's on the west. For one guy it's Shabbos, the next guy it's Sunday. That possibility really does exist. When Yeshiva sent a trip to Japan, that's why Rabbi Horowitz got involved in this topic. So Rabbi Horowitz was the rabbinic person on this trip. So they tried to keep Shabbos on Sunday for purposes of the Oraisas. And they had Dr. Lee serving as the Shabbos guy, or the Sunday guy in this case, to carry everybody's stuff. It's not a simple issue. I'm trying to simplify it to the best of my ability, but it could be that you fellows understand these topics better than I do. Any questions I probably can't answer? Okay. Let's move on to the three shiurim that are really connected, or largely connected, the shiurim given by Rabbi Flug, which dealt with electricity on Shabbos, and the shiur given by Rav Shechter that dealt with klolim on Shabbos, and the shiurim that was given by Rabbi Sachs that dealt with klolim on Shabbos as they apply to the malacha of Borer. Rabbi Flug was speaking, really had three elements to his shiur. First of all, he spoke about electricity in general. Then he spoke about the issue of grumma on Shabbos, which is a very relevant topic for electricity. And then he spoke about the questions of psik reshe. The psik reshe questions were also covered by Rav Shechter in his shiur, and touched upon by Rabbi Sachs in his shiur as well. And the grumma questions also Rav Shechter really discussed in his shiur. So let's speak about electricity in general. You set up a circuit on Shabbos, basically, you set up a circuit anytime you have electrons that leave from the battery and they'll flow around and they'll come back. Now, circuit doesn't do anything. But if I have a load in the circuit, so then it will trigger the thing that's included inside that load. Sometimes that could be a potential malacha d'oraisa. If I have a light bulb, an incandescent bulb in the circuit, so that's a malacha d'oraisa of mavir, no? The bulbs, the filaments in the bulbs hit around 2,500 degrees. That is a very hot thing. Mechami mesamateches is a malacha mavir on Shabbos, so that is a potential d'oraisa. If I don't have a bulb attached to my circuit, let's say I have a fan that goes on, so then it's questionable, is there any real malacha that's involved in, is there any real malacha that's involved in setting up such a circuit on Shabbos? The issues that come up today also are oftentimes you set a circuit and there's mamish nothing that's noticeable, no? It only becomes noticeable when someone breaks the circuit. That's the way security systems effectively work. Nothing is noticeable when the circuit is set up, but when you block that circuit, so then something is noticeable. There's a building here in the neighborhood called the Bennett, no? So the Bennett has this type of arrangement. So that's, there's some shiurim that Rabbi Willer gave in the past in contemporary halacha to deal with these issues, and maybe we'll try to touch upon them as we go through. So what's the isser involved in electricity, if any? If you guys are interested, yesterday the Atlantic Monthly online had a discussion about Kindle on Shabbos, not kindling a fire, but Kindle, like the electronic reader, and whether rabbis are going to start permitting the use of Kindle on Shabbos, because everyone knows that reading on Shabbos is very important, and now that books are going out of style and everyone's using electronic readers, so maybe there's going to be some heter for Kindle. They quoted the Rosh Yeshiva Yeshivat Naharat, who basically paskened that there is no real issur in using electricity on Shabbos. Not so pashut. Not pashut at all. The pashtus is some issur, probably not an issur d'oraisa, but the pashtus is some issur d'rabbanan in using electricity. What that issur is as follows. The tshuva Beis Yitzchak of Yitzchak Shmokas was the Rebbe in Lemberg. The Beis Yitzchak says that using electricity on Shabbos is usur, based on the same reason why you can't make seltzer on Shabbos, no? Which is, he says, based on a Gemara in Beitza with the Rashi about molad reyach, that molad reyach means if I put some scent into an item, so Rashi writes that there's an issur d'rabbanan being molad reyach, sha molad davar chadash karov hu la'osa malacha chadasha. It resembles malacha in some ways, it's karov to osa malacha. The idea is that when I take something and I fundamentally change it, I make something new on Shabbos, so that would be an issur. Now if it's, that's why Yitzchak Shmoka says you're not allowed to use a telephone on Shabbos, that's why you can't make seltzer on Shabbos, because also you're adding bubbles to the water, it looks different. That's going to be the issur of electricity. Now if that's the case, so then lemaisa you end up with a situation that if I have a security system that really nothing is noticeable whatsoever, no? I just create a circuit, but you mamish don't see anything, and you're only going to have a problem if someone breaks the circuit, for example, in that building in the neighborhood, the Bennett. So, right, what are you doing wrong, basically, if you make the circuit? You close the door, the circuit is made. What are you doing wrong? Absolutely nothing. When the ganav tries to come in, he'll break the circuit, then there's going to be a lot of noise. But you don't see anything by making the circuit. It could be just making the circuit. L'chora is not an iser whatsoever. There's no av malacha. It's an iser derabbanan of molid reyach. A mo. Right? There's no av malacha whatsoever. If it's a light, there's an av malacha. A light bulb is an av malacha of ma'avir. Some say that even according to Reb Chaim Eiser, who's the one who says there's an av malacha of ma'avir, he didn't mean absolutely that's an av malacha. Maybe he was only choshesh for it lahachmir, but lahakel, he wouldn't allow you to use it, let's say, for a neiros Shabbos. Unclear. Rav Shechter assumes that the pashtus is that it's real eish and you can use it for neiros, etc. That's what in the haskama that Rav Isra Zalman Meltzer gave to the Chalkas Yaakov. So he quoted that Rav Chaim Ozer said that it's real eish in a light bulb. That's the major marmakom on this topic. Now, is there any, according to the Beis Yitzchak, there's no real malacha involved in making a circuit. The Chazon Ish disagreed, and the Chazon Ish, you read different paragraphs in the Chazon Ish, you get a few different impressions. It could be that it's considered a malacha bona, according to the Chazon Ish. That's the famous one. Why is it bona? Bona means I combine two disparate units, and none of them are doing anything. But I put it together, it becomes a davar shalem, and I bring it to life. It becomes alive, so that's going to be a malacha bona, according to the Chazon Ish. Elsewhere, the Chazon Ish entertains that it's going to be the malacha makeh b'patish. And elsewhere, the Chazon Ish entertains that when I have wires in the circuit and the wires get hot, so maybe that itself is going to be the malacha of ma'avir, no? That's what the Chazon Ish... So there are three possibilities within the Chazon Ish, but the pashtus is that the Chazon Ish was inclined that it's bona. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach had his mother. Most of us have mothers. Rav Shlomo Zalman had a mother who needed a hearing aid at one point. So he, as a young fellow, decided to write letters to the Chazon Ish. First, he felt that he spoke to Gadol Yerushalayim. The Gadol Yerushalayim felt that the hearing aids are fine on Shabbos, and you could raise them, you could lower them, no problem whatsoever. Then he decided to speak to the. Then he saw the sefer of the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish said it's bona. So he wrote letters to the Chazon Ish. And he tried to argue that no, it can't possibly be bona, because in this situation, lamaisa, it's meant to be to go on and off, right? And it's like a door, no? The Mordechai writes in Masechet Shabbos that there's no malacha bona if I open and close the door, because anything that's meant to be opened and closed, that's derech tashmisho. So memela, right? How can I say that by making a circuit, turning off a circuit, that's bona? And so, sir, should be no. What's the problem whatsoever? That's what Shlomo Zalman said. Now later on, Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't fully concede to the Chazon Ish, but he basically felt that you should try to be machmir like the Chazon Ish. There are indications, though, that Me'ikar Hadin, Rav Shlomo Zalman also felt the Chazon, not like the Chazon Ish. For example, in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Rabbi Flug, I think, brought three rayas in the Shir, that we, Me'ikar Hadin, do not assume like the Chazon Ish. One case is to do Amira L'Nochri to turn on an air conditioner on Shabbos. The assumption is that turning on an air conditioner, right, let's say it's hot, you need the air conditioner. So, Yishmir Shabbos quotes the Tshuva, the Minchas Yitzchak, and Shlomo Zalman apparently agreed with this, that you could have a guy turn on the air conditioner. If we assume that creating a circuit is going to be some sort of Isser Doraisa, like the Chazon Ish said, so turning on the air conditioner, you can't have Amira L'Nochri to do that Doraisa. It's only permitted if it's Amira L'Nochri to do a Drabbanon, then it's going to be permitted. So that's one issue. Rabbi Flug, in his packet, really gives you all of the sources, nafgaminas, between the various approaches. Let's take the Beis Yitzchak's approach, that the Isser is only kind of molen, making something new. So mamela, let's say I'm not making something new. Let's say it's on already and I want to increase the volume. So then l'chora, that should be permitted for sure. Perhaps according to the Chazon Ish, there should be usur to increase the volume. Because l'maisa, the way Rav Shlomo Zalman says it in the notes, is yitachein shetamid usur to be magbir. Right, it's aser mishum sha'ayidei hagbar v'hachlosha mishtane chilek mehachut shebetoch hasalio mimavis l'chayim. I'm taking part of the transistor. I'm going from Maves L'chaim, so therefore it's going to be a problem according to the Chazon Ish. The Maisim most assume it's going to be Drabbanon, but we assume that's a Drabbanon not of Molid, but we assume it's some sort of Drabbanon form of Bona or Makeh B'Patish. Why do we have to say this? Because if you assume it's a Drabbanon form of Molid, the only Isser is to turn it on. Once it's on, L'chaim you could turn it off. There's no Isser to take Reyach out of a Beged. There's no Isser to demolid something. But if I assume it's an Isser Drabbanon of Bona, so then the opposite of Bona is Soser, and then there's going to be another Isser Drabbanon to turn it off. That's L'chaora what most assume. Good. So that was part one of Rabbi Flug's shiur. Part two of the shiur, again, I'm not going completely in order with Rabbi Flug, deals with Grumma. Now, all of electricity involves a shiloh of Grumma. The first source that Rabbi Flug has in his pack is a tshuv from Reb Chaim Moizer. Reb Chaim Moizer asked the question, one second, maybe turning on the lights on Shabbos is a Grumma, no? Why is it Grumma? Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, let's say I shoot an arrow at you, and you have a tris, you have a shield, right? So what's the din? So I'm not going to be chayiv for shooting the arrow for sure. Let's say I remove the tris, I'm also not chayiv, because that's grumma, no? I'm blocking an impediment. So here also, when I turn on the lights, really what happens is there's electrons flowing the whole time. The only thing is that there's something that's blocking the electrons from hitting the light bulb. Right? There's a tris there. When I remove the tris, so that should effectively be the same as grumma, no? So it should be that I'm for sure not chayiv min haTorah. Right? The Gemara in Shabbos says that grumma, asiyahu da'asa, grumma shari. There's no isa d'iraisa of grumma on Shabbos. So, b'chora, that should be a huge heter, a huge kulo. That's what Chaim Moizer entertains. So Chaim Moizer concludes that no, that there's no grumma here on Shabbos. Because the Yad Ramah asks Akasha there in Sanhedrin, no? You're telling me that if I have a tris in front of me and I remove the tris, that is considered grumma. That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. But there's another case. Let's say I take a guy, do not try this, but you take someone, you tie him up, and you put him next to a dam, no? And then you remove the bitka demaya, you remove the dam, and the water comes and it flows down and kills him. Are you Rotzeach? So Gemara in Sanhedrin says, yeah, you are Rotzeach. Shouldn't that be Hasaras Hamoneah? Shouldn't that also be, by definition, the Grumma? Because you're not doing the Maisa, you're just removing the impediment. So the Yad Ramah gives an answer that sounds to the effect of, well, you know, since the Mayim is touching the dam, when I remove the dam, so it's like my Maisa is bringing that water out. There are different ways of understanding the Yad Ramah, and the Ran in Sanhedrin might be a little different than the Ramah in terms of the Teretz of this Kasha. The way Reb Chaim Moizer answers it is that he thinks that the issue is that since it happens miyad, the water comes right away, right? The water is here, and it comes right away. In a second, there's no time delay whatsoever, so therefore it's going to be considered my Maisa, it's not Grama. Consequently, when I turn on the light, right, the electrons ke'ilu are against the blockage. When I remove that blockage, when I turn the switch, I remove that blockage, the electrons go through. So that's my Maisa because it happens miyad. That's the assumption based on this Yad Ramah. And maybe when Rabbi Bleich used to say chulin shir here, so he felt that that's not the proper understanding of the Yad Ramah, that rather the proper understanding of the Yad Ramah is that by a dam there's pent-up energy. Right, the water is blocking up against the dam, and as the water blocks up more and more, my koyach is releasing all that pent-up energy. That's not necessarily the same thing as what's going on with the electrons. Okay. Be it as it may, that's the din, why we assume that turning on the light, l'maisa we assume is a real maisa on Shabbos, we assume it's not grumma. Now, the halacha of grumma on Shabbos is the Mishnah says it's mutter. I'm allowed to make a mechitza with kelim maleim of mayim, because the fire is going to come and open up these kelim. The water will come out. It's not my maisa. Grumma is shari. The kasha is, don't we assume that isha mishum chitzav? right? And Isha Mishum Chitzav should tell me that it is considered my Ma'isa. So there is a whole literature in the Achronim and in the Rishonim about how we deal with these issues of Isha Mishum Chitzav. When is it considered my Ma'isa? My Ma'isa through some other channel. And when is it not considered my Ma'isa? Rabbi Flug just mentioned very quickly that Rav Shechter quoted from the Rav that the Hagdara of what's considered Isha Mishum Chitzav is that if the auxiliary force begins to act right away, the second I do my Ma'isa, so then it's not considered Grama. But if the auxiliary force is not present when I do my Ma'isa, then it is considered Grama. That's one Mahalach. The other Mahalach, there are really four Mahalachim that he mentioned, we'll just mention two. Approach number one is what the Rav said, and also Rav Shlomo Zalman's uncle, Rav Parash, said that. Approach number two that we'll deal with is Rav Shlomo Zalman assumes that by Shabbos we have a different Hagdara of Grama than everywhere else. Because the Torah says explicitly by Shabbos that only Asiyah is Aser, so Mela, even something that would be my Ma'isa for other areas of Halacha, like Isha Mishum Chitzav, is going to be Pater on Shabbos. The nafgamina might be between these approaches in terms of Shabbos clocks, no? The classical Shabbos clock that moves around very slowly, it's always in the on switch, and when it gets a certain point, then it flicks on. So according to Rav Soloveitchik, that would be usher to use Shabbos clocks on Shabbos. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's mutter to use Shabbos clocks on Shabbos. Rav Moshe famously said you could only use Shabbos clocks for lights. Rav Moshe felt that a Shabbos clock is usher to use on Shabbos because it's like Amira L'Nachri, no? If I can't tell a guy to do Malacha for me on Shabbos, I can't have a clock do Malacha for me on Shabbos. Rav Moshe only permitted it for lights. The question is why he permitted it for lights. That's already advanced Talmud. Yeah. Fine. Now, Rabbi Willig is quoted as saying that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, when he was asked to give a haskama, the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, didn't want to give a haskama because the Shmir Shabbos was making on the Shabbos clocks. And he, Rabbi Yaakov, also felt like the Rav's Hagdara, that Shabbos clocks should be a problem on Shabbos. Halacha l'maisa, we assume that Grama is mutter, but it's only mutter b'makom seda. That's what the Mordechai writes in Shabbos, and that's what the Rama paskens in Shulchan Aruch. On Yontif, we assume Grama is heter gamor. There's a little discussion about whether these Shabbos clock and the pins are going to be muksa or not. Rabbi Flug got into that discussion very quickly. Let's just talk for 3 minutes about Psik Reshe. There's a famous machlokes between Taisus and the Aruch. What's the din of Psik Reshe de Lo Nichole? First of all, there's a question, how do I define Lo Nichole? There's a stir in Rashi's if Lo Nichole means Lo Ichpatle, or Lo Nichole really means I don't want it. The Aruch famously says that Psik Reshe de Lo Nichole is mutter. Taisus assumes that Psik Reshe de Lo Nichole is going to be Aser Midrabanan. Rabbi Chanan has his famous explanation, the machlokes between Taisus and the Aruch, relates to how do I understand Psik Reshe? Is the pshat is I do action A, and action B automatically happens. Consequently, we view it like action A and action B is the same Ma'isa. So Mamela, if that's the situation, it would be Chada Ma'isa, so that even Psik Reshe de Lo Nichole is going to be Aser, at least Midrabanan. The Aruch assumes that Psik Reshe de Lo Nichole is going to be Heter Gomor. That's because he assumes that since it's Lo Nichole, Memela Tzekadavar She'enu Miskavein, but Tzekadavar She'enu Miskavein is going to be Mutter on Shabbos. How do I paskin about this Machlokas in the Aruch and Taisus? So Shulchan Aruch has 2 days, where they paskin like Taisus or like the Aruch. The Pashtus is that you should be Machmir, that's what most assume. Famously, Reb Simcha Zelig Rieger, who was a Dayan in Brisk, paskin like the Aruch. There's a letter that he wrote in Apardis to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik about using refrigerators, where he says that, well, since it's a shayla only on an Issa D'Rabbanan, because even when Tosfos assumes Psik Reshe de Lo Nichole is going to be Aser, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, a shayla B'D'Rabbanan is a B'D'Rabbanan Somchen L'Hakel. Moreover, since he heard from Reb Chaim that the Rambam paskins like the Aruch, and the Rambam also holds that Psik Reshe de Lo Nichole is Heter Gomor, therefore Simcha Zelig was Meiko on Psik Reshe de Lo Nichole on using refrigerators. Rabbi Shechter in his Shir pointed out that the only reason Rabbi Simcha Zelig published this letter is because at the end, the only reason Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik published this letter that Rabbi Simcha Zelig wrote about the refrigerators is because at the end of the letter, Rabbi Simcha Zelig writes some very nice praise about the Rav and his wife. Okay, whatever it's worth. So that's the din of Psik Reshe Emsik Reshei Delo Nichole. Rav Shechter also mentioned that the pashtus is that we are machmir on Psik Reshei Delo Nichole against the Aruch. Psik Reshei on the Drabon is machlokas between the Trumas Hadeshen and the Magen Avram. Trumas Hadeshen is Mekel, the Magen Avram is machmir. If it's a Psik Reshei Delo Nichole on the Drabonon, so then, Rabbi Willig and his shiurim that he gave about electrical systems and Chacham Ovadia Yosef and the Sefer Liv Yatrein and others, they are going to be Mekel on the Psik Reshei Delo Nichole on the Drabonon. Again, the Lomdus is based on that Rabbi Chanon that we touched on beforehand. Lamaisa, though, the Minhag in Europe used to be Mekel even on the Psik Reshei on the Drabonon straight up like the Trumas Hadeshen. Many would be make on the Psik Reshei Delo Nichole in the Drabanon, but even the Psik Reshei Delo Nichole in the Drabanon, the Minog, Reb Yitzchak Ochanan was make on it in his Chuvis, and I heard once from Tovia Goldstein that he said that the Minog in Europe was to make on the Psik Reshei on the Drabanon straight up. The Mishnah Berurah L'maisa is not really make on Psik Reshei Delo Nichole in the Drabanon. Right? The Mishnah Berurah assumes that you cannot be make on Psik Reshei Delo Nichole if it's two Drabanons. Rabbi Willig has some lumdis over here also that maybe it depends why these things are drabonon. These things are drabonon because of general principles in Hilchos Shabbos, or these drabonon because of limited specific malacha issues. Again, there's lots of details within the Psik Reshei issue. Suffik Psik Reshei is the next issue that comes up. Suffik Psik Reshei seems like an oxymoron. If it's a suffik, it's not a Psik Reshei. Psik Reshei means it's inevitable. So the answer is that Suffik Psik Reshei is a suffik l'sha'avar. This is famously machlokes in the Taz and Rebbe Kiva Eger. The Taz in Shin Tes Zayin says that Suffik Psik Reshei is going to be mutter. Rebbe Kiva Eger in Yerideh Simin Pei Zayin in the Basar B'chol of Sugyas quotes from the Ramah. It's very funny that Rebbe Kiva Eger says that. The whole Ramah says that has all these chumras in Pei Zayin, no? And he says that these things are only chumras and whatever. Right? So Rebbe Kiva Eger over there says one of the cases that if I'm mechate, if I'm going to stoke the flames under the pot of Goyim. So Rebbe Kiva Eger asks, one second, why is that only a chumr midrabanan? It should really be usher. Because it's a shayla of maybe there's basar b'chalav in the pan already. When I stoke the coals, I'm going to be cooking basar b'chalav, no? Now that's a suffik l'sha'avar. That's a suffik psik reshei that we'd call it. It's a suffik l'sha'avar, no? Because I'm not sure if basar b'chalav was cooked in the pan beforehand or not. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, well, maybe suffik l'sha'avar is going to be mutter. But he says, no. The Ma'ase said, why would that be true? Right? Shouldn't be mutter. There should be no difference between a suffik l'habon and a suffik l'sha'avar. So therefore, Rebbe Kiva Eger seems like he's machmer. It's a very funny Rebbe Kiva Eger. So Rebbe Kiva Eger speaking within the Ramah, he's asking a kash on the Ramah. Unless the Ramah is really mekel b'di'eved, no? The whole thing, to say this machlokes between the Taz and Rebbe Kiva Eger, Rebbe Kiva Eger is like asking a kash on the Ramah. It's a very difficult assumption. But in yeshivas, usually they say it's machlokes between the Taz and Rebbe Kiva Eger. About suffik psik reshei. That's the case, for example, let's say I'm not sure if I unscrewed the light bulb in my refrigerator. Am I allowed to open the refrigerator? No. Suffik psik reshei. Imtin salomar, the light bulb was unscrewed. I didn't do the iser. Imtin salomar, the light bulb was not unscrewed. The light bulb is there. So then I will do an iser. Is that considered a dovashin the miskavin? Is that considered a suffik psik reshei? Taz would be mekel. Rebbe Kiva Eger generally is machmir. The Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha found a Ramban in the Sugya Mitzarif in Shabbos, and the Ramban wants to say that you could be mekel on the suffik psik reshei. The case is pouring water into a pot. You're not sure if the pot already had been hardened or not. So the Ramban is mekel. It's a raya to the Taz. So it sounds like the Mishnah Berurah holds like the Taz that suffik psik reshei is going to be mutter. The Malamed Lahoel of David Tzvi Hoffman in the last Truva, the Malamed Lahoel has a comment that he thinks that suffik psik reshei is going to be mutter by Shabbos, but it's going to be usher by Sha'ari Surim, no? And he wants to say that based on this, there's no machlokes between the Taz and Rebbe Kiva Eger, because the Taz is Mekel Zion and Hilchos Shabbos about closing a bread box when there are flies inside the bread box. If there are flies there, it's sud. If there are no flies there, it's not sud. The Taz is Mekel. In Hilchos Shabbos, we're Mekel Zion and David Tzvi Hoffman. Because in Hilchos Shabbos, L'maisa, right, Malachas Machshavas requires more Kavanah. But when it comes to other areas of Halacha, like Basar B'chol, like the case that Rebbe Kiva Eger is discussing, so then you should be Machmir on Suffik Psik Reshei. That's the comment of Rebbe David Tzvi Hoffman. The last issue that we'll speak about in Psik Reshei is this famous Shvera Rashba. The Rashba says about Sod Tzvi that if I close the door to my house, and I know that there's a deer inside my house, but I'm closing it for some other purpose. It's just my secondary intention is for the deer. So the Rashba, apparently Rashba's make on this. The Ran says about the Rashba in Lahakal Kokach. The Magen Mishnah says about the Rashba in Lahakal Kokach. L'maisa though, the place can rely on this Rashba in situations by certain malachas. He wants to say that maybe the malachat sod is different than all other malachos. The malachat sod is not malachat I'm doing biyadayim. It's ki'ilu, it's almost like a grumma, because it happens on its own. Right? I close the door, I'm in melo, the animal's trapped inside. Maybe in that situation, the issur is only when I have real kavanah. That's what they suggest. This issue is very relevant also. Rabbi Schechter pointed out in his shir, he had a whole discussion about how the Shilte Giborim accepts one premise of this Rashba. And this is going to be relevant, Rabbi Schechter pointed out, in terms of the lights that are in the street. No? Sometimes the lights will go on when I walk down streets in the suburbs. Is that going to be mutter to walk in the street? So if we understand that when the Isser of Psik Reshe only really applies to a Maisa, the Amdung Biyadayim, it doesn't apply to the Malach of Tzad. So also when the lights go on in the street, I'm not doing a Biyadayim, I'm walking down the street. Then the lights turn on because there's a sensor in the house. So it's not like I'm doing the Maisa Biyadayim. If that's the case, then there's grounds to be makal on the question of walking in the street on Shabbos. That's the issue of the cameras also, right? Cameras that are set up, security cameras. Is this mutter? So apparently last week, no, contemporary halacha, last week Rebbe Yoshev came out and he asked the cameras by the Kotel, no?
Yeah.
And Rav Rosen from Tzomet, like, wrote a real attack, no? And he really, so I'm nervous about this now. My shul is trying to put up security cameras, okay, so I'm a little bit uncomfortable with having security cameras. The yeshiva has security cameras, by the way. So no one should think that, like, only on the other side of the heights are there bums or security cameras. There are security cameras. The first few weeks that they had security cameras here in yeshiva, Rav Schechter didn't daven in the base medrash, no? Rav Schechter and Rabbi Tsarfati moved out of the neighborhood over this issue. The reason Rabbi Tsarfati moved to Passaic originally was he was nervous about, you know the story? He was nervous about the security cameras. So, what's the issue with the security cameras? When I walk by the camera, basically, I am being photographed. Now, if the picture ends up just on the screen, the way Rav Schechter said, that's garnished and garnished, no? Because it's just on the screen, it's bin layla hoya, bin layla avar, it just comes, it goes, there's nothing there. But if the security camera goes to a goes to film somewhere, so when something goes to film, so there's a potential malacha. What's the malacha? Could be it's a malacha of kosev on the love of drabonon. Kosev min atori requires real writing. Kosev min drabonon is making something that will be intelligible later on. That could be. Or it could be that there's some malacha of, it could be some mitaking mana min drabonon, some tikkun mana, right? Some assume it's mochek when I write on film, because it's preparing it for kosev later when they develop the film. But whatever it is, there's some isser involved if the security camera has film. Yeah?
Would we assume that it would be the same thing if it was recorded digitally?
Depending on what it is. It could be that if it's recorded digitally, that could also be the isser mochei, because you're preparing something that will be written later on, and then you decode the digital messages. But that would be considered co-save. I think it's hard to assume that would be considered co-save.
If it's recorded on a regular magnetic tape, so that would be probably
present. Right.
It's just stored in the electrons.
So these are the questions. So 1 second, Ari, I'll get to you in a second. So the question of these cameras, what's the heter for these cameras to walk by? So if you hold like the Aruch, the Psik Reishit, the Lonichalei is Mutter, no problem whatsoever. Although Yesh Lodon, and Rav Schechter mentioned this, he like threw it out in the shir, he says, well, 1 second, is it really Lo Nicholei? If I'm part of a shul, and I'm spending money to be a member of the shul, and part of my money is going to protect the building, no? So maybe it is Nicholei. I want these cameras to record me when I walk in, because I want it to be part of the system, Because the cameras can't only record the ganav. The cameras also have to record me in order that they'll be able to record the ganav. So maybe that is considered psikreshe denichale. It's very unclear. When Reb Simcha Zelig said that the refrigerators are called lo nichale, when they go on, why is that considered psikreshe lo nichale? No, I want the refrigerator to keep it cold. Right? I want the motor to start cycling when I open the doors, because that's the way my food doesn't rot. So it's not so pashut. It's not so pashut that's going to be considered psikreshe delo nichole. So is there any kula for these cameras? So if we assume that psikreshe delo nichole is mutter in the drabanon, that's a kula, no? The iser over here is probably some sort of kosim drabanon, mochik drabanon. If it's really lo nichole, if I'm not part of the system, that's going to be okay. Rabbi Flug mentioned very quickly at the end of his shiur, there were Tzvi Koshelevsky in one of his tshuva, in an essay he wrote on the Sefer HaTeres Shlomo, where Tzvi Koshelevsky wants to say like this. He wants to say that there's a Rashi, everyone says this is a Rashi in Zvachim, but Rabbi Yaakov Roblowski pointed out to me that Rashi at the beginning of Ksuvas also says this beferish, that it's only considered that Mezalif Yayin, right, the din of psik reishi is not only true by Shabbos. It's true everywhere. There's an issue in the Gemara that I can't extinguish the fires that are burning on the Mizbeach. So Rashi has a comment that since I could do it betipin dakin ad ma'od, right, I could technically pour the wine in the way that like teeny little drops come and it won't be mechabe the fire at all. So therefore it's not called the psik reishi. If there's a maisa that I'm doing and I could do that same maisa in an oven that nothing would happen, so that is not called the psik reishi whatsoever. So Rav Tzvi Koshelevsky wants to suggest as follows. Maybe this is the kula for the security cameras. What am I doing? I'm walking. I could walk without pictures being taken of me. No? Therefore, it's not psik reishi. He says it. I don't know. If the kula is real, it's a gevaldika kula. Lamaisa, it's really, it's not so pashut, all these security cameras. Arya, you had a comment.
This is in response to the question. I'm familiar with the shul. I don't know the reason, but I'm familiar with the shul that got a security system a few years ago and Dafka didn't get the visual system.
Didn't get the... They got the tape.
They Dafka got an analog system for something that their rabbi wanted.
Don't know. I mean, I told my shul that I don't want the tape to be on Shabbos when they have it. I think that will solve some issues. Don't know. Okay. So Rav Shechter davens in yeshiva on Shabbos, no?
So
originally he didn't. Then he found that the journal Beis Aaron of Yisrael, the Stolen Torah journal, had a series of articles about these cameras. So he said, okay, so I have to rely on what it says in that Stolen journal, and he started davening in yeshiva again.
So you can go on the street also, because there are hundreds of satellites.
Yeah, so this is right. So the satellites in space for sure, I think, is lo nichole. I don't care if any satellite takes a picture of me. So that's a psikreshe delo nichole in the drabanon. The bigger shaila, I think, is in yeshiva and in the shul when I'm part of the tzibur, and maybe it is considered nichole because I'm getting some hanu'ah from the pictures. What was the cheshbon, Rebbe Yoshev, when he answered the cameras last week? He had some different cheshbon. There's some light that goes on inside, no? That's again, I only know what it said on Ynet News. But that seemed a little bit difficult to me because those lights that go on are LED lights, right? LED lights don't have any filament. It's also a drabanon, no? So if the kula is based on some sort of secretion, the one nichle in the drabanon, so mali chad drabanon, mali shrei drabanon, there's other drabanons involved. Maybe what he held like the Mishnah Berurah, they'll only make on secretion, the one nichle by two drabanons? Okay, but unclear. I really don't understand. I didn't see anything. I only saw what's said on Ynet News. I don't know. What? Right. If but that's not the way it was quoted in the Ynet News report. Right, that's what I would assume. That maybe it's not nichole because the kol Yisrael has a chelik in the kol tam aravi, and the cameras are there to protect me. So maybe it is nichole. I want the cameras to prevent the mechablim from coming, and part of that system is that I have to get photographed. I think that's Mr. Aber.
Satellite also nichole.
The satellite is nichole?
Yeah,
want
to catch terrorism.
No, but
people?
I'm not. But I'm not a chelik of the tzibur. I didn't pay any money for that satellite. But in the shul, I could say that I, as part, it's harder to, I think it's harder to say the satellite is nephilim than it is by the shul. Like Google Maps. Right? They find everything. Fine. In Rav Shechter Shir, so he dealt with a question that the Me'iri asks. No, the Gemara at the beginning of Shabbos says that Mappas Morsa is going to be mutter because the Makom Tsa'ar were okay on the Chor, the Makom Tsa'ar were make on Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa. That's what the Gemara says at the beginning of Shabbos. The problem is that the Gemara also says that Kuchasal Haner, or I extinguish a candle for a chola sheyishon, right? That's going to be a problem, no? Why is that going to be a problem? If I extinguish a candle for the chola to sleep, l'chora, for a chola we should be mekom malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, b'makim tzar, like Mappas Morsa. So Rav Shechter in his shir quoted two of the answers I given by the Me'iri. One answer given by the Me'iri is that we're only mekal on Mappas Morsa, because Mappas Morsa is a tolda. And tolda shein tzricha l'gufa are going to be mekal on. We're not going to be mekal on extinguishing the candle for the chayla to sleep, because that's an av malacha. And then Rav Shechter went on and he gave a number of other distinctions that we see between where that tolda shein tzricha l'gufa is going to be okay, because a tolda shein tzricha l'gufa, Rav Shechter is considered gezeira d'rabbanan. This piece is all in the Eretz HaTzvi, I believe. That's only gezeira. But as opposed to a case of extinguishing the fire mamish, that's going to be the av malacha. Right, so that's going to be a malacha d'rabbanan. From malacha d'rabbanan, we won't be megal. Rav Shechter gave a few examples of this, the difference between gezeiros d'rabbanan and malachos d'rabbanan, as he calls it, that we're only making gezeiros d'rabbanan for chola she'im bo sakana. We're not making on malachos d'rabbanan. We're making gezeiros like total muktzah. The Magen Avraham says we're making on mirel nachri for chola she'im bo sakana. That was his assumption. The other answer that was given by the Me'iri to this kasha is that we're not makel on turning out the fire for the chola to sleep, because if a chola sleeps, that doesn't make him any better. We'll only make on stuff that will make the chola better. Being able to sleep, lamaisa, isn't a refuah in any sort of way. What are we makel on for a chola she'im bo sakana? Shulchan Aruch has 4 days. We pass on the ikar kedeya ha-gimel, which basically means amira l'nachri permit, and we permit a Yisrael to do an Isser al Yidei Shinoi. What type of Isser al Yidei Shinoi? The Mishnah Berurah assumes we're only make on an Isser D'Rabbanan al Yidei Shinoi. However, this is quoting the Ramban, and as the Eglei Tal points out, I think Rabbi Sabolovsky mentioned this in his shir also, the Eglei Tal assumes that the Ramban holds that even an Isser D'Irais al Yidei Shinoi will be make on V'chola She'ein Bo Sakana. Rav Shechter then went off on a tangent a bit about when we say Pekuach Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos, even Suffolk Pekuach Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos. Suffolk Sakana. Lo Hochan Pekuach Nefesh Acha Harov, any chance whatsoever, Lechora, right? So we're going to be Mechal Shabbos. Well, what does that mean, any chance whatsoever? Let's say it's a Chashash Rachok. Right? This is what we usually call risk ratios. How much risk is considered a, let's say someone says, I have an ingrown toenail. Am I Mechal Shabbos? There might be a case once every 25 years that someone dies from an ingrown toenail, may machal Shabbos. So the pashtus is that we deal with this question the same as I would deal with it on a Monday. If it's Monday, would I run to the hospital with the ingrown toenail? If I would, so on Shabbos also I run to the hospital. That's the pashtus. The Yisod Shomer Psayim Hashem that the Gemara mentions at the beginning of Yevamos and elsewhere is also that the type of risk that people ordinarily adopt is not halachically significant as risk. But if I'm the type of person who won't adopt that type of risk, let's say I'm a nervous person, so then, since there are some people who die from it, it's not echad mine elef, it's not like way out there. So in that situation, if I'm really nervous, so then it would be considered a chola sheyesh bo sakana. In the biography of the Chazon Ish, they tell that two people went to ask the Chafetz Chaim the same shayla about whether they're allowed to work on Shabbos, because they wanted to earn money that if the Germans would come, they'd have extra money to run away. Is that considered a real suffix akana? So apparently the way the Chofetz Chaim passes on the shaila is it depends how nervous you are. If you're really nervous that you need extra money to run away, so maybe it is considered a suffix sakana. If you're not so nervous, it's not. The problem is, right, some poskim don't like these hagdaras. Rav Moshe said that no, you can't judge it based on the person himself. That doesn't make any sense. And then on the other extreme, we have certain poskim who are machmir, even on something that's echad mine elef alfei alafen. They're machmir, that's also considered a suffix sakana. And the tshuva about that is the Maram Shik. No, the Maram Shik, when it comes to Mitzitza B'Pei, even though Teferis Yisrael, the Mishnah is assumed that Bizman said we have antiseptic, so therefore you don't have to do Mitzitza. No, Mitzitza is only... You don't have to do Mitzitza, that's what the Teferis Yisrael assumes. There's no concern of infection. But the Maram Shik said that no, if the Gemara says it's a Sakana, and even if it's Echa, Mine, Elef, Alfei, Alofim, you have to do it. Right, that seems to go against his whole mahalach. If Schefter is assuming that something that's a suffix, echa mine alef alfei alofim, if it's a really, really far-fetched suffix, he didn't want to get into the numbers, right? A really far-fetched suffix, and the number of 1 out of 1,000 is also very difficult, because if 1 out of 1,000 people would die from a medicine, the FDA would not approve that medicine, no? The FDA would only approve medicine if it's like 1 out of 100,000 or something. Okay, right, so you have to... make the ratio, but the idea of echad mine alofim as the hagdara is not so pashat. There's also the issue of the Chassam Sofer in the famous tshuva to Moses Mendelssohn, no, about that the German government passed a law that they wouldn't bury people until 3 days after they were dead, because one time some guy got up and he walked away, no. So the Chassam Sofer said, yeah, because something happened once in the Yovel doesn't mean that it's considered a real suffix, and he ignored it. So it's funny that the Maram Shik read a tshuva against his Rebbe, the Chassam Sofer. Okay, that's what Rav Schefter spoke about quickly in terms of suffix sakana. In terms of cholosh yesh bo sakana, so we do kol tzrachav according to the Magid Mishnah, even stuff that's not going to help him get better, l'chora. We don't pass him like this Magid Mishnah. We pass him only by Yisurim Derabbanan do we do kol tzrachav. That's what the Mishnah Berurah assumes. However, Reb Chaim is called by Reb Velvo that he really passed like the Magid Mishnah. This is something I think that we touched upon in Rabbi Neuberger's share about Yom Kippur. I don't know if we need to return to that. Sakonas Aver is a discussion in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Ramban assumes that Sakonas Aver is not Sakonas Nefashos. The Meiri assumes that Sakonas Aver is considered Sakonas Nefashos. The Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva, right, where he basically quotes many Rishonim who agree with the Meiri that Sakonas Aver is Sakonas Nefashos. So Lamaisa, in many situations today, we will be Machal Shabbos to Sakonas Aver. Rav Shetha pointed out in Shir, though, that you have to be very careful. You have to look at all these Rishonim. I think Rav Shetha quoted as a truth on the 3-day age, but I think it's really in the Tzitz Eliezer. But you have to look up the Rishonim carefully. The Rishonim don't really say what they say they're saying. Rav Shetha quickly mentioned at the end that whatever kulas you have by Miral and Nachri don't apply to a Ger Toshav, they don't apply to your own child. There's also a discussion about whether Shvus to Shvus only helps by a Miral and Nachri as one of them. Some assume that Shvus to Shvus only helps if one of them is a Miral and Nachri. Others assume that we can even make one Shvus to Shvus, even Ayde Yisrael. Reb Chaim assumed this way, no? Reb Chaim famously one time was in Warsaw. Reb Chaim felt that the Erev in Warsaw is in Gansan Pasel. And Reb Chaim also didn't want to wear his tzitzis on Shabbos, no? Didn't wear his talis on Shabbos, but he felt there would be a bazillion to be in shul without his talis on Shabbos in Warsaw. So Reb Chaim had the following eitzah, and this is called by the Bilsker in his Truth Sharei Tzion. He wanted to say that maybe you could walk from Rishus HaYochad to Rishus HaYochad Derech HaKarmelis, and that's considered Shvus to Shvus, because Taisus points out in Erevin that to go from Rishus HaYochad to Rishus HaYochad Derech Rishus HaRabim is one Shvus, right? So if I'm going from Rishus HaYochad to Rishus HaYochad Derech HaKarmelis, it's a Shvus to Shvus. And the Shvus to Shvus is going to be mutter, but makom, the bezayin of being in shul without a talis. That's what the Bilsker quotes. So, that's interesting, because that means that Reb Chaim also felt that Shvus to Shvus is going to be mutter Ayde Yisrael, no? It wasn't a guy who's doing anything. Hey, even Ayde Yisrael, Shvus to Shvus is going to be mutter. Reb Shachter quoted what, to me, is the most interesting element of the shiur. They quote from the biography of the Chazon Ish about the second airplane, no? There was a time that an airplane went to the DP camps to take people and to rescue them. So the Chazon Ish said when the first airplane came, that people could board the plane on Shabbos and fly away. The second airplane came, the Chazon Ish wasn't Mekel. So he asked the Chazon Ish, how come you were Mekel last Shabbos, not this Shabbos? Chazon Ish says that, you know what, we could be Mekel to be Docha Shabbos. It can't be Mekel to be Mevatel Shabbos. Rav Schefter understood this story from the Chazon Ish as a template for saying that we can't give kulas Miral Nachmir for anything else in the situation that the kulas will become regular. If you're always relying on these kulas, you can't do it. He quotes in the Sefer Mipnei Arav from Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik that even though when the Rav used to go to the west side occasionally for Shabbos and when speaking Moria, he would ride the elevators, Ayadei Miral Nachmir, but the Rav said that if he would live in the west side, he wouldn't rely on this. Because that would be considered Bittul Shabbos. No? To arrange a Shabbos situation the way that you have to rely on Miral Nachmir, so that's going to be problematic. That would be considered Bittul Shabbos based on, that's what Rav Schechter quoted in this shiur. We didn't really get to Rabbi Sachs' shiur about the Malacha of Borer. There's a lot to say about it, but maybe we will break over here in Daven Mincha. Thank you for listening. My time management is always a little bit bad. Like, I dray a little bit too much at the beginning. I apologize.